Hello and welcome to New Every Day. My name is Carrie.
And my name's Jen. And on today's show, we're talking about tell a lie and you're gonna cry.
And then die. Part three.
Part three. So stay tuned.
Back to a new every day. We are jumping into part three of Acts chapter 5, looking at the story of Ananias and Sapphira and how they lied to the Holy Spirit and what the consequences were of that, how it affected, how lying affects relationships,
how lying puffs up. We lie
in the motives of the heart,
yes,
that make us lie. And now we're going to talk about something a little bit different, Jen.
So we're going to read this week from the New Living Translation. And I actually encourage people to read from different translations, because sometimes you can read from one translation for so long that you're just like, yeah, you know what the next words are. So you haven't even thought about what the words mean. So we've read from the NIV, and we've read from the New King James. So today we're going to read from the New Living. So starting to read verse 1. But there was a certain man named Ananias who, with his wife Sapphira, sold some property. He brought part of the money to the apostles, claiming it was the full amount. With his wife's consent, he kept the rest. Then Peter said, Ananias, why have you let Satan fill your heart? You lied to the Holy Spirit, and you kept some of the money for yourself. The property was yours to sell or not sell, as you wished. And after selling it, the money was also yours to give away. How could you do a thing like this? You weren't lying to us, but to God. As soon as Ananias heard these words, he fell to the floor and died. Everyone who heard about it was terrified. Then some young men got up, wrapped him in the sheet, and took him out and buried him. About 3 hours later, his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. Peter asked her, was this the price you and your husband received for your land? Yes, she replied, that was the price. And Peter said, how could the two of you even think of conspiring to test the Spirit of the Lord like this? The young man who buried your husband are just outside the door, and they will carry you out too. Instantly, she fell to the floor and died. When the young men came in and saw that she was dead, they carried her out and buried her beside her husband. Great fear gripped the entire church and everyone else who heard what it and bleh. Verse 11. Great fear gripped the entire church and everyone else who heard what had happened. So we ended off last week talking about how people can and will find out that you've lied. And not necessarily because you've told them, but because the Holy Spirit has told them. Now, we're not really sure how Peter found out. And I realize this because the passage doesn't say what happened.
Like maybe there was a mole?
I
don't know.
Better be careful who's watching.
Or maybe the Holy Spirit told them.
Right. So whether it was someone who came to them and said, well, actually, they sold the property for this much, just so you know. Or it really was the Holy Spirit who spoke to Peter. But he knew that what they had given was not the full price. Which is like, it's a little scary when you think that. Like, have you ever been called out on a lie? Like, it's like...
Well, wasn't it Jesus who said that at the end of days, the things that you've whispered in your bedroom will be proclaimed from the rooftops? Like, nothing will be
nothing
hidden. It'll all be laid bare before the one who made us when we're called into account, to be held accountable for every idle word spoken. And that's so easy for me to say right now, but I know that I have spoken idle words, or, you know, words I haven't truly meant.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's that, those hidden things, because they probably thought, nobody will ever find out. We're not going to tell anyone.
But isn't that such an incredible deception from the enemy?
Yes.
No one will ever know. Just have that second glance. Just do this. You're not going to hurt anybody else.
Yeah.
You know, it was kind of highlighted to me, and I was working with someone who, actually, we were talking about how, like, suicide doesn't affect one person. Mm-hmm. It affects everybody. Like, you think the one act that it's only going to affect you oneself. It's right. A ripple effect, right?
Right.
And how you, I remember my dad saying, Carrie, you never sin in a vacuum. As soon as you sin, it's going to affect other people. And the ripple effect is large, right?
Yes.
Like, even a small thing, like a small lie, can really hurt others.
Yeah. And, you know, when you go back to the story about Saul in the Old Testament.
Yeah.
And where they were commanded, he was commanded to kill everything. And he's like, Samuel the prophet comes up and says, weren't you commanded to kill everything? And Saul's like, I did. So this is 15. This is 1 Samuel 15. The word of the Lord came to Samuel. So I'm starting to read verse 10. I am grieved that I have made Saul, because he has turned away from me and has not carried out my instructions. Samuel was troubled, and he cried out to the Lord all night long. Like, because he realized that Saul's sin, his not being willing to follow what the Lord had given, was, like you said, he didn't sin in a vacuum. It was going to affect so many people.
There would be a consequence for it.
And he cried out to the Lord all night. Like, I'm sure he was interceding for Saul, just saying, oh, Lord, please. Like, don't let, I want to say, the repercussions of his sin be so great. Early in the morning, Samuel got up and went to meet Saul, but he was told, Saul has gone to Carmel, where he set up a monument in his own honor and has turned and gone down to Gilgal. When Samuel reached him, Saul said, the Lord bless you. I have carried out the Lord's instructions. But Samuel said, what then is this bleating of sheep in my ears? What is this lowing of cattle that I hear? Samuel answered, the soldiers brought them from the Amalekites and spared the best of the sheep and cattle to sacrifice to the Lord your God, but we totally destroyed the rest. Stop.
He said, we kept it back. We didn't obey, but we kept it back for the Lord.
Yes.
But that's not what he asked.
That's not what he asked. And that isn't that what Ananias and Sapphira
yes.
did?
Yes.
Like, they didn't even have to give anything. And then you said, no, but if we give it to the Lord, we'll look
yeah.
good.
Yeah.
And it's just like,
that's very interesting. Jen.
Samuel said, stop. Let me tell you what the Lord said to me last night. Tell me, Saul replied. Samuel said, although you were once small in your own eyes, did you not become the head of all the tribes of Israel? The Lord anointed you king over Israel, and he sent you on a mission saying, go and completely destroy the wicked people, the Amalekites. Make war on them until you have wiped them out. Why did you not obey the Lord? Why did you pounce on the plunder and do evil in the eyes of the Lord? But I did obey the Lord, Saul said. I went on the mission that the Lord assigned me. I completely destroyed the Amalekites and brought back Agag, their king. The soldiers took... he's now blame shifting, which often happens in lies when you're trying to cover up, right?
That's so true.
Don't you blame shift? And it's like, okay, how am I going? I thought if I told the truth that I'd get in trouble.
You know what often comes to my mind, and I've had to pray, like, I'm praying that God would help me catch the lie in my mind or in my heart, because it's out of the overflow of the heart that the mouth speaks, right? And stop these thoughts in my mind. But anyways, like, if I'm late for something, then, and I'm on the road, I'll be like, well, I'll just, you know, the traffic is kind of bad, so I'll just say, you know, the traffic was just, like, crazy.
Because it's so easy to do that.
Because then I don't look so bad. It's not my fault. It was an external source causing the problem.
Yes. Yes. And, you know, when you talk with people and they never seem to do anything wrong, it's always somebody else's fault. And you're like, really? Wow, you must be perfect, because you never do anything wrong. Everybody else does wrong. And you're like, something isn't measuring up here. And, you know, I gotta be careful when I do that myself. Like, it's so easy to say, oh, well, Carrie made us late. And it's like, well, I had a part to play in that, but it's so much easier to be like,
but it's usually the case.
It's easier to blame shift, right?
Yeah.
Rather than just saying, I was late, I'm sorry, period. But we want to We want, it goes back to last week, we want the acceptance.
And I don't want people to be mad, and I want to keep the peace, and I don't want, you know, bad things to happen.
Yeah.
I want it just to be okay, right?
Yeah.
I had an interesting conversation with a friend this week, actually, Jen. Wasn't Jen. But about being honest about how we feel and what's going on in life. And I said to her, well, it's just so much easier to be around people where everything's all good all the time.
Mm.
Right? Like, if you're not honest about how you feel about something, you're not really telling the truth. And she was like, no, your real friends want to hear about the real situations,
yeah,
that are going on. And it's okay to be honest and not always put on a front that you got it going on.
Yeah.
And so anyways, just as an aside.
I was at a board meeting this past week, and my chairman of the board said, you know, how are you doing? And I looked at him, and I'm like, okay, do I tell the truth? Like, do I say, like, everything's fine? Or do I say, well, actually, I feel really, like, not in a great place? And I chose at that moment just to be honest and to say, because it's so, I want to have it all together. I want people to think that Jen has it all together, that I can balance 17 things at once and not drop anything or anything get cracked and nothing get overlooked. And it was just really cool, because in that moment of just being really honest and saying I was struggling, my board stopped the meeting and came and prayed for me.
Yeah?
Yeah. And I was like, and then in that moment, it's like, but I don't want to be the center
but
of attention.
But I'm your pastor.
Yeah, it's like, I'm your pastor. I don't want to be the center of attention. So I'm like, okay, I'm trying to receive the prayer. And on that note, we'll be back after this commercial break. So stay tuned.
Jeff Weston.
Yaman. Yeah,
you're building a brand new, beautiful website.
What?
Aren't you?
No. Am I?
Oh, you're a terrible actor.
What?
This is where acting comes into play.
Oh, I didn't know we were acting.
You're supposed to act.
Okay, fair enough. All right.
I'm building a really cool website. Are you building a really cool website? You need hosting. One of the things about a hosting account is you don't want to have limitations put on your website.
It's true.
How much hard drive space do you have? How many email accounts? How many domains can point to it? Well, we've got an amazing deal for you. For a very limited time, cat5.tv/dreamhost. For just $5 and a bit of change per month, you are going to get unlimited website hosting, unlimited email accounts on that hosting service. You are also going to receive a free domain name.
Ooh.
So your own .com.
Nice.
To put that amazing website that you've been working on,
it's
on
true.
There. If you want to build a WordPress site, fine. Sign up. cat5.tv/dreamhost.
Just don't put Panama Papers on it.
Just don't do it. But hey, it's a great deal, folks. Best deal you're going to find. $5 and change per month. Go to cat5.tv/dreamhost.
Okay, welcome back. After that short break, we're jumping right back in, Jen, to Acts chapter 5.
Jumping right back into Acts chapter 5 and the fact that we talked about two people, Peter and Samuel, where God spoke to both of them, even though it doesn't say God spoke to them, but Peter knew. So whether somebody told Peter or God told Peter, Peter knew that they hadn't told the truth, and he's like, why did you do that? And, you know, Samuel confronted Saul and saying, God wants you to obey. And so, but Saul basically, like, forgot that it was God who had raised him up into that position. And it's like Ananias and Sapphira forgot how they got there. They forgot about the grace of God, and they tried to promote themselves. It's like they forgot who God was and who Jesus was, even though they would have probably have heard about the whole story.
Mm.
And so I sit here, I'm like, okay, so what is our response in this? And, you know, the Lord just is saying, like, I'm willing to forgive. If people would realize that, you know, their sins will find them out. Like, because the thing is, when we aren't honest, oh, you live in fear wondering if somebody's going to tell on you.
Yeah.
Like, are they going to, is so-and-so, and you get this more well, no, I guess you could get it at work. So I'm like, as teenagers, if you go to a party, it's like, okay, there are 17 people at that party. Are any of them going to tell my mom? And, you know, or at work, you know, when you clock in and you call your friend and say, hey, I'm going to be 10 minutes late. Can you clock me in when you get there, sort of to cover up the missed time? Well, you've just asked your friend now to participate, so now you better hope that that friend is honest. And then what happens, you know, if it's on video camera and they see them clocking you and your friend in, like, are they going to, like, stick up for you, or are they going to, like, totally turn you in?
Can I share a story about that?
Sure.
So my brother and I both worked at a grocery store when we were, like, 15 and 16. My brother's older than me. So we lived around the corner, and we would run to work like we would be late, right? So you had to go put your coat upstairs and clock in down by the office. And we made it, and I was like, okay, Garth, you go put your coat on, I'll clock us in. No problem. So I found both of our punch cards. I didn't think anything of it. I go to punch mine and then punch my brother's, and my boss is standing right behind me. He's like, what do you think you're doing? I was so embarrassed. But I was defensive, like, Garth, here, he's upstairs. Like, I'm just going to punch us in, and then he doesn't have to come down. He can just go right back to work. He works in the back anyway, so he doesn't have to come out here. You see, I'm saving time. I'm saving him. I'm saving you time and money because he's getting right to work. I didn't say all that, but in my mind, I was like, that's... But I tried to justify myself before him. And he's like, you can't do that. I was like, okay.
Oh, you got found out.
I got found out. But it was a small thing, right? But it wasn't the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
But he was a good boss. And he didn't treat me any differently. He let me still keep coming. He let me still keep trying, right?
Yeah.
I put the card down, and my brother came and clocked in late, and it was okay.
Yeah.
But I got found out.
You got found out.
And it was good, because ultimately it taught me something, right?
Yeah. And God, just like Carrie's boss, God is a good, good father.
Yeah.
And when he finds us out, when we get convicted of our sin, knowing that our sin has been found out, I love, it says, though your sins be as scarlet, they will become as white as snow because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross. And, you know, I read that and it says, even though your sins are staining you, you can be as white as snow. There's just something that is so powerful about the fact that we can be washed clean. That every single sin that we've ever committed, like in that tally book, has been like washed clean. Like there's no record of it. He chooses not to hold it against us because it has been washed clean. There is nothing to be held against us. And that's the cool thing about what Christ did for us on the cross. It's a big church word that says justification. The justification of the cross, of Jesus' sacrifice, is just as if I had never sinned. So when we choose to follow Christ, when we choose to believe that that's why he came, was to show us the way to heaven, and we follow him, recognizing that he is the only way, our sins are forgiven. And we can be washed as white as snow. And God comes and it says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Those who open the door to me, this is Revelation 3:20. I will come in and eat with him and he with me. There's this idea that when we open the door to God, he will come in and have relationship with us. And that's open to every single person. So we don't know where you're at. But we encourage you, if you have not made that choice, to follow God today, to open the door, to say, God, I realize my sins are crimson red. They stain me. I want to be wiped clean. I don't want to carry the penalty of sin because it weighs me down. Would you forgive me? He will. He will. Because he's a good, good father. And he sent his son for you specifically so that you could have a relationship with Him. So we're going to pray. And if you want to join us in this prayer, it's just a prayer of surrender and confession. And we enjoy you and invite you to do that right where you're sitting right now. And then we encourage you then to go tell a friend of what you just prayed. Because it can be easy to message us, but no, go tell a friend and say, would you help me learn more about Jesus? All right, so let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you that you came to die on the cross for our sins so that we could be made right with God. I know that I am a sinner. I know that my sins stain me crimson red. But by the power of your sacrifice and your blood that flowed down, it washes me whiter than snow. And I don't really know what that means, because those are a lot of church words. But I know that you're going to take my sins away, and I know that you are going to come and have relationship with me. I don't know a lot about this, but I know that you are real. I know that you are real. Would you help me follow you? I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thanks so much, and thank you for tuning in. And I just kept thinking of the old hymn that Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, but he washed it white as snow. So we encourage you to think about that this week, and we look forward to seeing you back here next week for a new every day. Have an awesome week.